Hey everybody, this is Dan Gilbazan, voice of G1 Bumblebee, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Utrex report. We are being followed.
Decepticons.
Hello and welcome to an all new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all Transformers fans that we can. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and this week the guest is Mike the Birdman Dodd. Hello, sir.
Hey, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised I haven't done one of these before, actually.
Yeah, you have never been on All Things Transformers. Way back when I started out, you were on TFG1 for that interview I think I did with you and Snowball, but you have actually, this is the, we're breaking your All Things Transformers cherry, as some people might put it. Yes. It's the rightful topping for a Sunday, even though we're recording this on a Tuesday.
Or yeah,
something like that. Anyway, so Mike is from Canada. We won't hold that against him. He runs ThisWeekInGeek.net, for those of you that may not know. And getting right into it, and I always start these, if anyone's listened to any of their episodes, I know this first question is kind of stupid, but there are some people that were not fans when they were kids. They found it later. So, did you grow up with Transformers, and at what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
Yeah, I actually totally grew up on Transformers. I'm definitely a child of the 80s. I remember watching it around 85, 86, when it originally aired. Just gonna move my mic closer. Excuse me. I used to get it via one of our local affiliate stations, CKNX, who I'm pretty sure is not around anymore. Coming out of Wingham, Ontario, and I'd only ever cast the last 15 minutes. Sometimes I'd get lucky and I'd catch a full episode if the bus could get the hell home fast. I used to rent the tapes from, I can't remember the company. They're orange. I can't remember.
Home Entertainment.
That's it. Yeah, they also did the Ninja Turtle stuff too.
Yep.
But yeah, so I grew up on the franchise for a while. Never saw the movie in theaters. I did get a chance to see it years later with my best friend at the time, Quincy. His dad rented it for us, and every opportunity I got, I would try and grab the tape from him or the local video store. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up with the Transformers a fair chunk. They were always in my house for Christmas. We used to have a program up here in the town that I grew up in, or sorry, the town over I grew up in, Owen Sound. There used to be this thing for the Legion, which my grandfather was a member, and mm-hmm. Santa Claus would show up and give out toys. And I remember getting quite a number of Pretenders from those Christmases, and I always thought that was really cool. And I remember the McDonald's Happy Meals with the Transformers in them too. So yeah, they've almost always been a part of my life in some capacity.
Which Transformers generation is your generation and why? So this is basically, is it G1, is it Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Animated, Transformers Prime, that kind of thing?
It would definitely be G1, although Beast Wars would definitely be a close second. I fell out of Transformers probably in the 90s when I just stopped getting toys. Mm. And it wasn't until I randomly came across Beast Wars. In Canada, they had the show was called Beasties due to children's parents' rights groups over violence concerns. And I always thought that was really stupid. I remember sitting on the couch with my friend Ryan, and we were watching YTV, which is the youth television network up here in Canada, and it was, we're like, "Ooh, space battle, CG space battle. This looks interesting." And it was the first episode. It was the pilot for Beast Wars, and we're like, "Holy shit, what is this?" And for the longest time, I was such a Beast Wars fan because he would tape the episodes, because I didn't have cable, because my parents had satellite. But if you think they let me near the big TV and the satellite, well, they were watching sports or something. It didn't happen. So I had to rely on a lot of VHSs. So Ryan would tape them for me. I'd watch them. And for a long time, I was a huge Beast Wars fan. But it wasn't until the Dreamwave comics came out in the 2000s that I fell back in the Generation 1. And I'm thinking, all right, this is me. This is my generation, because I knew all the characters. I'd never seen them characterized like that before. I mean, sure, there were the Marvel comics of the 80s and the UK ones, but I never got into those. But it was the Dreamwave comics. I collected every single comic, every single variant of every cover. I still have long boxes just full of them. And G1 just be kind of became my thing. Though with toys, I was a lot more liberal. I was really a huge fan of Beast Wars toys because they weren't so blocky. The posability was utterly fantastic for most of them. Mm-hmm. Plus, it was just fun to hunt them. Me and my friend Ryan used to do a lot of just... He got his license when he was 16. And I'd skip a lot of school so we could drive down to Toronto or Niagara Falls. We're like, "Well, I don't feel like going to class today. Do you want to go hunt for Transformers?" "Why, yes, I do." "Well, I don't feel like going to class." And we just randomly just drive around Ontario hunting for toys. And occasionally I'd go out to garage sales, look for Generation 1 toys, or I'd ask my friends, like, "Hey, do you have any of your Transformers left? You know, you want to sell them to me?" In fact, one of the worst deals I ever made for a toy is I gave up my Super Nintendo, a bag of Doritos, and $20 for Inferno from Beast Wars.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm a friggin' idiot. But Inferno's a cool character, but yeah. This one, he had a busted rotator joint in his butt, so he didn't spin as well as he should have. But yeah, that's how big of a fan I was. So I'd say, for me, it's a tie between Beast Wars and G1, but G1 will always be my favorite, though.
What outside of the Dreamwave comics, what are some of the other generations of Transformers that you like or that you've noticed over the years?
I read some of the IDW stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I followed Transformers Prime for a little while. I watched the first season and half the second. And I just kind of fell out of it just because life and mm-hmm. podcasting and broadcasting just got in the way.
Yeah.
But one comic or one generation or I guess one form of media from Transformers that always stuck with me, there were two of them, once again from Dreamwave. They were the MicroMaster series, which I thought was an amazingly well-written book. And there was, I think it was the Age of Darkness, which they never completed because the company went under.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just such a tragedy that so many good stories and so much good artwork got lost because people couldn't pay the bills.
Mm, yeah. What was your very first Transformers toy as a kid?
I remember several, but the one I remember the clearest... Actually, no, I don't know. Shit, I'm thinking here. What was my first? Okay. Once again... Tragedy strikes. I remember my parents sent away back in the day for Optimus Prime and Megatron. I never got them. But what I got instead is I got Reflector. LOA Reflector. And you would not believe how much that sucker goes for now if he's complete. And yeah, I trashed him because I'm, you know, an asshole kid. But I remember getting Reflector, Cosmos, Beachcomber, Chop Shop. I remember getting a lot of the smaller Transformers. Ultra Magnus was a big one. In fact, I remember getting into a fight with some kid, like a physical fist fight, because he wanted to borrow my Optimus. And he stole them from me. And he's like, "Mommy, mommy, this kid stole my Optimus." I'm like, "Oh yeah, kid." And I remember punching this kid right in the mouth.
Jeez.
He's like, "Yeah, you're gonna steal my Optimus Prime. You're gonna feel my fist." And I'll never forget this kid because he smelled exactly what an open sewer smelled like. It was terrible. So I always associate Ultra Magnus with that smell, which is terrible. But I remember the first Transformer I ever got as a birthday present. This one I'll never forget. It was Metroplex. And Metroplex has always been one of my favorites because he's big. He's a city former. He looks cool. He's got a lot of accessories. He's just a cool looking figure. He's a great display piece. And I remember, I think it was my 7th or 8th birthday, I was just so thrilled to get him and have bigger Transformers. And then other Transformers I'd get down the line would be a lot of Pretenders. I remember getting the Action Masters. I thought they were cool because they were more detailed. The posability was a little better than the regular blocky ones, but I remember getting Prowl on his motorcycle, Shockwave on his dirt bike type thing. Or no, he had like a gun he rode in, and then there was this other one, I can't remember what his name was, but he was another Action Master.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Decepticon. My friend Quincy got, and he just kind of gifted him to me, he's like, "I don't know if I like Transformers anymore." I'm like, "Yeah, sure you don't." I remember taking that. I remember the first Transformer toy I ever stole. Once again, because it's playground politics, and this kid did not appreciate what he had, this rich douchebag. Him and his brother, Matt and Mike, had Dirge and Ramjet.
Oh, geez.
And yeah. I remember stealing Dirge because I'm thinking, you don't appreciate this. You go home to your wonderful toy mountain where the rest of us peasants will just sit here with our little microformers. No, sir, I do not accept this. Yeah, I was a douchey kid. But I just remember having so much fun with the deluxe class of figures. To my mind, that's what a Transformer should be. Around the 15, around, I guess it would have been about the $10 price point back then. But that scale of Transformer, I remember my parents buying me Trailbreaker because I thought he was cool. My next door neighbor had Mirage and Prowl and Jazz. I think I ended up with them at some point, although he broke his Prowl and it so upset me so much. I'm like, he's a cop car, he's cool, how could you break him? You dumb. I hated when kids abused them. Oh, although in that next door neighbor's house, next to my parents' house, which they no longer have because, well, they're, well, gone.
Mm-hmm.
In the foundation, I'm pretty sure there's a cliff jumper in the cement of the basement. Because I remember playing in the house when it was being built and losing my cliff jumper in the foundation. So.
What year was this that this happened?
This would have been about 86.
86. It is now 2016. It is 30 years, okay? All I can think of is Michigan J. Frog and Looney Tunes when the construction thing, the building is being uncovered and Michigan J. Frog just pops out and that's all I can think of.
Yeah, at some point when archaeologists discover the ruined landscape that is what's left of the world, they will find a hundreds of year old cliff jumper.
That's funny. I say this on all the episodes that we've done for this. It's a little weird question, but when I was a kid, we just played. We didn't have a term for it. It's called live action role play now, but that wasn't a thing in the 80s. The actual wording of it was not
a
thing.
Playing.
Yeah, exactly. So growing up, did you and your friends ever pretend to play Transformers? Like you said, oh, I'm going to be this character. And
you know what's weird? I don't remember a lot of us ever playing Transformers. I remember we always used to play guns because I had this ridiculously huge gun collection for toys, and I was always like a huge like RoboCop mark. But I remember playing Transformers a few times. I always remember playing Prowl, Sunstreaker, or I've never got a chance to play Prime because my buddy Quincy always called Optimus Prime or Starscream. So, and a lot of my other friends, they were into other things, but we didn't play a lot of Transformers on the playground. But I'd always play with my toys, and I'd play with those a lot. So I played a lot of Transformers by myself, though not with my friends, which is kind of depressing.
All right, so G1 Megatron puts his fusion cannon to your temple. Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation? You can pick one Decepticon and one Autobot.
From the Decepticon side, I'd have to pick probably Soundwave, just because I love that voice modulation thing, and I like how he's a loyal soldier to Megatron no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
For Autobot, it gets a little tougher, not by much, but through years and years and years, it's always been Prowl.
Laserbeak, Autobot alert. Disclosure averted. Continue observation.
He lies. He uploaded the formula to someone. I don't know who, but I soon will. Let this human go. We seek another.
Oh, wow. Dr. Alcazar sent me the antimatter formula. I've got to keep it safe.
Stay clear, Blue Streak.
I love that cop car. I think he's very cool. I love his look. I like how Chip Chase took control of him in one episode with a 5.5-inch floppy,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
I remember his like acid pellet shooting gun, stuff like that. I remember his toy being less than stellar, but still cool to me. Yeah, Prowl, without a doubt.
What are some other Transformers characters you like?
Big fan of Sunstreaker. I remember getting him as a mail away, and I just thought he looked cool. I always wanted Sideswipe, so I'd have the quote-unquote brothers. Mm. I've always been a big fan of any of the Jets from the Decepticon Seekers. Not so much the Coneheads, but the original three. Mm. Shockwave. Love Shockwave's design. He looks so cool. In fact, mostly because of a Marvel Comics cover in the 80s where it's him standing in front of like this Days of Future Past wall and it says all are dead. And it's just such an iconic Marvel Comics cover. And I just think he's kick ass too. So, but for a good guy, Cliffjumper, because Casey Kasem did an awesome job before he left the show. And Ultra Magnus, because Robert Stack's a boss. So.
Yes, he is.
I can't deal with that now.
Cliffjumper, commence countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, Casey. That whole debacle.
Yeah.
Oh,
our bomb, yes.
God. Are there any Transformers characters you absolutely hate that you just cannot stand?
Transformers Animated, pretty much anybody on that show.
Really?
I tried for like 3 episodes to get to like that show, but there's that stupid redhead girl.
That's sorry, someday.
Sorry,
yes.
I'm like, no, you, no, I refuse to acknowledge your existence, thus you are a glitch in the Matrix, you don't exist. So screw you, get out of my TV. Yeah, I couldn't stand anything Transformers Animated, like, at all. So I pretty much wrote off that entire show.
There's two, I like Animated, I'm not gonna go into the whole reason why, but, there's two characters that the way they're done in the show is absolutely amazing. That is Shockwave / Longarm, where Longarm was the Autobot side of himself, basically dual personality for Shockwave. An Autobot side and a Decepticon side. And at one point, because Shockwave got outed by the Autobots, he could then go back to Megatron in his true colors, and it was Corey Burton doing the voice of Shockwave, just like in G1, and he turned purple. I kid you not, I remember watching this episode when it aired. I fell out of bed one Saturday morning.
Nice.
Because I was not expecting that. The other one is, for the first time in God knows how long, Judd Nelson returned to the role of Rodimus in the season 3 opener Transwarp. That was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Over your lifetime, as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise grow stronger or weaker?
It was a lot of up and down. Through high school, I had a lot of Beast Wars keeping me interested.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until probably when I moved out on my own and moved in with my first fiance, Ashley, that I really lost interest in Transformers for a number of years. It wouldn't be until I'd get a copy of the movie from the Rhino release I'd get back into it, like 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say my interest in Transformers really came back probably around 2005, 2004, when the Dreamwave comics were hitting pretty heavy. And there was a certain line of toys that came out around that time. I'm still kicking myself in the ass that I sold them about 10 years ago. I had the Alternators, which were based on real vehicles. And I remember my first being, I think it was Dead End or it was Smokescreen.
Yeah,
and sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Those Alternators were awesome.
They were amazing. And the fact that I was learning about real vehicles, because, you know, growing up where I am, everybody has a trade, or they're these gearheads or whatever. Nerds are not exactly high on the social food chain. But the fact that I could have a conversation, like, I knew Jazz was a Subaru WRT-10 or something, or I knew Smokescreen was a Subaru something. I knew that Grimlock was a Ford Mustang GT something or other. I could rattle off the stats for those cars because they were Transformers. They were real to me. And seeing a car like Windcharger, who is a Honda S2000, seeing him in a movie like he was in Too Fast, Too Furious, the car that was driven by Devin Aoki's character. I'm thinking, holy shit, that's what Windcharger actually looks like. That is so freaking cool. And it's kind of what got me interested into the customization aftermarket of Transformers, finding out you can buy aftermarket parts, you can buy replacement stickers, you can even customize them if you want to paint them, stuff like that. People were doing it. I'm thinking, holy shit, this is so freaking cool. So I'd say my love for the franchise got stronger, dropped off a little bit during college, and then when the Bayverse movies came out, they came back kind of strong. Because it was always something to look forward to. Because I'm like, all right, cool, there'll be a new Transformers movie in like a year or two. All right, that'll be something to do. So, yeah, I'd say I'm actually surprised how strong the Transformers love has consistently been there. In fact, my second tattoo I got was an Autobot symbol, which the tattoo, it should have cost me $400. Somehow I was able to talk the tattoo artist into doing it for like $150.
That's awesome.
They were kind of pissed because he looked at me afterwards. He's like, I should have charged you like $400. But since I kind of agreed to it, damn you, kid. I'm thinking, I know, right? Because I came in right at the end of the night. I had went to the casino. My buddy Craig had won some money. And I convinced him, like, you want to get me a tattoo. And he's like, I want to get you a tattoo. So I Jedi mind tricked him. And they were maybe like an hour away from close. I didn't think it would take that long because this is my second tattoo. I'm thinking, all right, well, it doesn't look that hard. It's just a lot of lines and some cool shading, whatever. So I go in at 1, leave at 3:30.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah, they were not pleased with me. But I'm like, guys, I promise I'll keep coming back. And that's the place I got almost all my tattoos throughout college, was at one place in Niagara Falls, place called Heads, which supposedly there were some health issues. I never got sick, and I've had blood work, so whatever. But yeah, that I'm surprised how much I've loved Transformers over the years, actually.
Now, you said during college you kind of dropped off a bit. Was there ever a point where you just said, screw it, I'm done, I want to get interested in other stuff.
Yes. It was because of alternators. I had spent so much time looking. There was a certain one, and I'll never forget it. It was the alternator Decepticharge. And it was about the time Shockwave came out. Both were recolors of, like, I think, Jazz. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I can't find them. I go to the States, because I was like half an hour from Niagara Falls. And I'd go over with my girlfriend at the time, Blair. Mm-hmm. And I'd go look, or I'd go with my like best friend slash roommate, Pierce. And I couldn't find them. Even online, they wanted $80, $90 for a recolor. And I'm thinking, you know what? Screw it. I'm done. I'm buying Optimus Prime, and that's it.
Yeah.
And the last alternator I bought was Optimus Prime as the pickup truck. And that was the last Transformer I bought for myself for probably like 8 years.
Hmm. All right. So with the internet giving birth to the fans and everyone having a voice about what they like or don't like about Transformers or anything in general, do you find that your voice gets lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder? Well, me knowing you for the last 8-9 years, I'm pretty sure you'd just shout louder.
I'd just shout louder. Yeah. Well, it depends. I used to have a lot to say about Transformers because, I used to be really close friends with a bunch of guys who ran another Transformers podcast, Spada, I can't remember the other guy, Jesse and Ryan.
Spada, Jesse and Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, TF I can't Wire. Remember what the show was called. Yeah, TF Wire. Yes. And I used to really, really get into it. It was one of the first podcasts I actually actively listened to. And I'm thinking, I just don't have that much to say. I mean, I'm a huge fan. I remember for a long time I was, I would like to call myself an apologist for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, because I genuinely find that movie to be a guilty pleasure. I really like it. I'm terrible. But it was also one of my first press screenings, so I guess that's why. But yeah, I find my voice gets lost in the Transformers fandom. Although, weirdly enough, I used to do a My Little Pony show, which you're taking over at some point.
At some point, yeah.
And I talked about DJ Pawn 3 or Vinyl Scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the Equestria Girls movies, she has a car that transforms into a mobile DJ stand. And I said on some podcast or somewhere, I wish the car had the Transformers noise because they're both properties owned by Hasbro. And mm-hmm. some fan wrote in giving me an essay as to why the two universes are not compatible. And I'm thinking, first off, you've put entirely too much thought into it. So bravo to you, sir. But second of all, I was like, holy crap. So yeah, my voice tends to get lost in the shuffle, but I'm always the first guy there to champion anything new Transformers wise. Like, I'm excited for the new movie, even though I know it's going to be terrible. Although, I will admit, Age of Extinction genuinely put me in a bad mood. I remember walking out of that theater so mad. But yeah.
We'll talk about the Bayverse a little bit later. Okay, so I know you have a story behind this next question, because, as I've already said, we've known each other for X number of years at this point. What is your personal Transformers anthem song, whether it's The Touch, whether it's Dare, whether it's something from Vince DiCola? What's your story here?
My personal deep personal favorite is actually Unicron's theme, the live version, which comes off it was on a different version of the soundtrack, because if you play that over the right stereo, it will shake your apartment. It'll shake the walls. It's gorgeous. But my personal theme song was actually my wedding song. When me and Blair got married back in 2011, we entered the hall, the Stan Bush's The Touch. I was able to yell and sing that walking up to the bride and groom's table. And all my friends knew what it was. Blair's quote-unquote friends and family were utterly baffled as to why I'm belting out this 80s rock anthem, and the rest of my friends, they were just right along with it. It was so incredibly gratifying to walk into that, and I had like Stan's blessing to use it, and Stan actually became a personal friend of mine during college because I did a number of different projects on him. Mm-hmm. And it was just so cool to have The Touch as a wedding song. Like, I just, it's as much as the wedding is supposed to be for the bride, I'm totally went against the grain. That day was my day. In a Well, Blair was like, I got my uncle to play Star Wars on the bagpipes, which is cool. Let's not talk, you know, crap about that. But when I got married, exactly when the minister or the officiant said, I now pronounce you man and wife, I had the victory fanfare from Final Fantasy VI play as soon as that happened. Once again, my side of the wedding. Yeah! Her side? And it was just so badass. And I wish during the night, because we had arguably the worst DJ in the world as our wedding DJ. Like, my God, this kid sucked. I would have loved to have put on the Transformers soundtrack just to see what people would have done when Dare to Be Stupid came up. That would have been memorable as all shit. It's
the new Hokey Pokey, folks.
It was amazing, though. Like I said, just walked into that hall with, you've got the Touch. It was, like I said, so badass.
Now, you've kind of already talked about it a little bit. We'll get to that in a minute. Actually, I skipped one. How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons?
Not often, actually. What I do, if I ever want a Transformers, like, fix, I'll just type something into YouTube. I remember, actually, probably about a couple weeks ago, actually, I randomly decided to, I wonder what all the theme songs sound like. So I randomly went back and watched all the title songs and end credits and everything just because I was really, really bored one night. But I don't go back often because I have two different versions of the complete series. I bought one as a bootleg from Japan back in college.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Matrix collection for review years ago from Shout Factory, and I've gotten every subsequent release ever since. But I don't get a chance to go back and watch them past the initial period for review, which sucks, which means my memories of them are basically one and done.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks. I mean, I'm hoping when I take some time off during the winter here for my mini mental vacation, maybe I'll go back and rewatch some stuff. Although the show has aged horribly, but that's kind of the fun of it.
Yeah, I look at most of them in the time capsule that they're in. Like, you look at G1, that's clearly 80s, you know, it started
in 80s. I'm here to sell toys, basically.
Well, no, not necessarily. Yes, I know a lot of people say that, but not necessarily. There were plenty of really good written plot episodes. The Key to Vector Sigma, two-parter, I'm trying to think what else, Heavy Metal War, which was the season one finale, where Megatron basically gets all the Decepticons' powers and he cheats to win this battle against Prime. I mean, there are so many good episodes from season one and season two, and there are even some good ones from season three as well. All right, so earlier you mentioned the Dreamwave comics. What other comics, and if you want to go in further with Dreamwave, what other Transformers comic stuff?
It was mostly all Dreamwave things, although the main reason I got into them was because of the artwork, which was Alex Mine and Jim Lee doing a lot of it. I remember the book that really sold me on the Dreamwave stuff was actually the Ultimate Transformers Visual Guide, and I got that when I was in Edmonton. I was out visiting a girlfriend. And I had a credit card with no spending limit on it, so obviously, let's buy stupid.
Oh my God, dude.
It was an awesome summer, let me tell you. And I bought that, and I'm like looking at all the artwork, and I'm loving if this is the new official artwork, because back in the day, the artwork on Transformers was, I always thought, kind of hokey and kind of stupid. It's only now that I appreciate that 1980s lunchbox art.
Yeah.
And I really, really got into it because of that. And that's why I collected all the variant covers is because I wanted to have all that personal artwork. When I went to a Transformers con back in 2006, I had a piece of RC done up and a piece of Prowl done up by the artists. And I didn't pay that much because they just did it quickly in pencil and marker, but it looked really, really, really good. And I kept those for years. I actually remember giving them away to a girlfriend at the time. I was dating just before Blair. And I don't know, like the big thing with the Transformers comics, it's the artwork that always sticks with me. That's why I didn't much care for the first incarnation of the IDW stuff. I didn't like how it looked all painted. It looked a little too mechanical, a little too real. And I just didn't appreciate that as much. Now, the later IDW stuff is significantly better. And then when they did the cool crossover stuff with like G.I. Joe or whatever. In fact, I guess that kind of works. If it comes to other incarnations, anytime G.I. Joe and Transformers crosses over, I'm a huge fan of that. Like, I love Optimus Prime as the Hiss Tank or Starscream as like a Cobra Rattler and all that shit. I think Prowl was like a Cobra Stun or something. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah, the IDW stuff, for me, it's just one of those things where the story hits me and then the art hits me later. Like, how I read comics is I read for the story and I notice the visuals as I'm going along, but I'm mainly focused on the story. So when I go back to give myself a refresher, I'm like, oh, that's real. Oh my God, that's odd. You know, that kind of thing. And IDW from the start of Death of Optimus Prime. Now, this is just, now I know you said the early IDW stuff, which I'm assuming you're talking about the original Transformers ongoing that they did. From the start of the two ongoings that they had, More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, which started with the death of Optimus Prime, those two ongoings from their inception in 2011 were just amazing. I mean, James Roberts, he is the Decepticon murderer of souls when it comes to character development and writing on More Than Meets the Eye. The man can just do no wrong. The same thing with John Barber on a book formerly known as Robots in Disguise. And yeah, it's IDW is doing such good stuff right now. Now, I know you've had some issues over the last few years, but how big was or is your Transformers toy collection?
My Transformer collection at its height, I had most of the alternators before I sold them. I had Masterpiece Prime. I had, this was really awesome. Hasbro sent me the Comic-Con exclusive Metroplex. And I was like, holy shit, because this thing came in like a refrigerator box. It was so huge. They sent me that in Fortress Maximus, I think. And I had that, and I'd come into some money at that point. So I was buying lots off of eBay. So I had an original Prime, an original Galvatron, and all this other thing. My favorite out of that collection was I had a bunch of the Combiners. So I had like a Superion, I had a Devastator, I had Computron and all that, and it was so badass. I had Soundwave and Blaster. However, now that things have significantly changed, because I've kind of decided if I'm going to collect, I don't want to have to resell my collection every few years because it's just too painful.
Right.
But Combiner War stuff is surprisingly easy to find. So, and the fact that you can make your own combiners, that's a huge selling point for me. So, when I was in the States this past summer for my vacation, so thank you to my fans who decided to give me a break, I went out and I got some of the Combiner Wars figures because they were on for like $10. And it was so cool. I've got Sunstreaker, I've got Wheeljack, I've got Galvatron. I've got a lot of the newer Combiner Wars and Titans returns. I'm missing Blaster and I'm missing Soundwave if I really want to complete what I have. But yeah, I got them, and I'm so happy that I have them. I mean, if I do regret selling one toy, it'd probably be my Masterpiece Prime, because I got him at a steal for $25.
Wow.
When I was younger, the Toys R Us near me was clearancing them out.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're just like, yeah, $25. It's all yours. No problem. So a friend of mine had bought like 10 of them.
Oh, wow.
We were selling them off. I remember another time we did this around Christmas time. This was, I guess, Energon, I think, was the big line at the time, or maybe it was Armada. And we had bought, we came down with $100 a piece. They were clearancing out Omega Sentinels at $10 a piece.
Damn.
So we each bought 10. And we were just giving them away or selling them at retardedly good prices. And it was an awesome Christmas. We certainly made a few kids happy, made ourselves happy at the same time. But yeah, my collection right now is pretty modest. I mean, if I had to refocus, I'd probably go back, get the G1 cast from season one in Masterpiece form. Like, I would really like to go back and get Bumblebee Masterpiece because he looks cool. I'd get Prowl, Jazz, Prime, Megatron, probably Starscream, and Soundwave would probably be the ones that I'd probably grab.
Yeah.
If for combiners, I would probably get... I think Bruticus looks really cool from the Combiner Wars, and probably Menasor. Because if anything made me appreciate those things again, is Transformers last year had a really fantastic video game called Devastation, which had no right to be as good as it was.
Yeah.
Because it was like playing an episode of the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I really started like to combine her things. Like, that's my thing. I love spectacle in my toys, which is why I like the big Metroplexes, your Fortress Maximuses, stuff like that. Hell, I'm really surprised they haven't done a Trypticon yet, but give it time, I guess. Yeah, my collection right now is probably no bigger than 15. At most, it'll get as big as 20, and I'm pretty satisfied with that.
What is the one Transformers toy you could never part with ever? You already did, sadly.
I already did. But if I had to go back, I wish I had never got rid of my Blaster and Soundwaves. Because I'm an audio guy. I am sound design. I am music. So I wish I never gave those up. Because I had Buzzsaw, I had Laserbeak, I had Ravage, and I think I had Ratbat. For Blaster, I had Steeljaw, Eject, and Rewind. So I'm really wishing I kept all those and their tapes. Now, I have their tapes now in their modern forms. I just don't have the tape decks to go with them. And it's so hard to find them. Because I know Soundwave's like a leader class figure. And he's retailing for like $40 or $50. So
well, you could get the Masterpiece version of Soundwave.
That's true. But I kind of don't mind the Titans Return version. Or... if I had to go back, even the Fall of Cybertron or War for Cybertron versions were kind of cool looking. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, if I had to go back, there was even one that was kind of cool where it was like an MP3 player / Transformer.
Yep.
Which was kind of neat. So, yeah, if I never had to part with figures, it'd be those ones.
What was the most money you ever spent on a Transformers toy item?
On an individual toy, I think I spent about $100. On a lot, I think I spent $650.
Wow.
And that's with shipping, because it was a big lot. The most expensive toy I bought, I think, was a couple of alternators. I got like 3 for $120. And when I had a bunch of money probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I got a version of, what was it? I had like every Dinobot. I had like half half the combiners. I got like Prime, Metroplex, and all these other figures for, like I said, $650 plus shipping. And it was such a fantastic deal because this guy didn't know what he had. They all had their accessories. They all had their missiles and everything. And wow. I was like, yes, yes, I finally have a Grimlock. I finally have a Slag. The only thing I didn't get was like a Swoop. Mm. So that was pretty cool.
Cool, cool. All right. Do you like, loathe, or are you indifferent to the Bayverse?
It's such a hard question to answer simply because I like how the Bayverse is making Transformers accessible to people again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's presenting, like, it's not as cartoony as it could be, which means people like us are arguably going to be very, very mad at it. But it's getting people talking in about Transformers, and I do like that. The thing I don't like about the Bayverse is the design of the robots. I don't like how I can't see their faces clearly. Like, there's no defined lines. Or if they do, there's too much, and you can't tell what the hell's going on. And I think that's just a problem with the Bayverse design and the Bayverse editing. It's just very difficult to watch as a film.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with it for the most part. I don't like how they killed Jazz in the first movie, which was just such a bitch way to go out. I want a piece of it. I want two. Really?
Poor Eddie Winslow.
Yeah, like, yeah. Come on, man. And then they turned Soundwave into Dr. Claw. Like, really? You couldn't have spent the 10 minutes with the vocoder program and given them the proper voice? Really, Frank Welker? You just couldn't have done that for me? I actually, you know what? One of the things that actually has grown on me about the Bayverse, I really like Hugo Weaving as Megatron. That's really grown on me. I wish they'd done more with certain characterizations. I feel like you know who the Decepticons are more than any of the Autobots outside of Prime and Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Like, I think Charlie Adler did a great job as Starscream, but he doesn't have a lot of lines.
Yeah. It
bloody depresses me.
They did a good job, and say what you will about Age of Extinction, they did a good job with Hound. I mean, you got John Goodman in there, you know, yeah. Dan from Roseanne, and they gave him...
But that's not our Hound. That's Bay's Hound.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
I'm still happy with it. I mean, just the fact that I got him on the screen at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Although... I don't know, and this will be my F-bomb for the episode. How do you fuck up Dinobots? Like, seriously. That's why I walked out of that movie so mad. Because I'm like, they're robot dinosaurs. This should be the most brain-dead easy thing ever. And somehow, some way,
you screwed it up.
I don't understand this. And although, yeah. I will admit, I love the character of Lockdown because I like the fact that he's a Transformer bounty hunter who's neither Autobot nor Decepticon. He's just like, you know what? You're just a bounty to me. You are money.
Yep.
I like that. I thought that was actually kind of neat. But other than that, Bayverse, there's a lot of problems. But hey, it's getting a new generation of kids interested because they may not necessarily like what we like. So whatever gets them talking.
That's true. If you can create any Transformers fiction, whether it be a toy, a cartoon, a comic, a movie, whatever, what would it be and what story would you want to tell?
I would do Transformers G.I. Joe as a 5-episode miniseries on TV. It would be a week-long event. Each episode would be the standard 22 minutes. And it would be awesome. That's what I want. I want to see... Oh, and I'd bring back the original voice cast, too. Like,
Of the ones that are still alive. Yeah,
the ones that are still alive. Or at least really good sound-alikes. Because I think that'd be so cool. Like I said, I'd love the fact to see Starscream and Cobra Commander working together. Or Serpentor... killing Bumblebee and all this stuff. Like, there's so much cool stuff that could happen if they were to bring that to life. Or, alternatively, if I could somehow get Transformers Infestation with the Transformers, the Ghostbusters, the Ninja Turtles, and all that shit for, like, I don't know. Even if it was just a half-hour mini-movie, I'd be okay with that. As long as it had a ridiculously high budget to look cool.
Yeah, the only problem with that is you're not going to get TMNT with Ghostbusters and Transformers because
money.
TMNT, no, yeah, that, but TMNT is a different company. So.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where there's only one, and I'm sure other people can do it, but I've only ever heard one person do a Scat Man Jazz, and he did it so well, and that was Phil Lamar. Because I remember when I interviewed him the first time, and we asked him about, because he was jazz and animated, and I asked him, I said, when you went in, after you got the role, did they tell you to do your own thing, or did they tell you to go, you know, to do a Scatman impression? He said, oh, once you get Scatman in your head, you can't do anything else. And he gave us an impression of it, and I'm like, if they ever get Jazz again in a cartoon, you need to be the voice of Jazz. So awesome. Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Toys story?
You know, I don't think so. I think I just got rid of them as time went on, and then they garage sold them on me when I moved out. So I don't blame them for getting rid of my toys. More like I got rid of my toys because I am in crippling debt, and I hate my life. No, surprisingly, my parents were always pretty good to me when it came to getting me toys. So thankfully, they never got rid of anything. Though they randomly got rid of my Sega Genesis at one point, and I was kind of pissed about that.
Dang. Alright, what is one piece of advice that you'd give the Transformers fandom and TF collectors in general?
Focus. Do not spread yourself thin. Find something you like and stick with it. Like, if you're going to collect alternators, stick with alternators. If you're going to collect Masterpiece, stick with Masterpiece. Or if you're going to collect one character, stick with one character. Because my friend Ryan, he collects with the mantra, he wants the best representation of that character. And I think that's a very smart way to approach collecting. Like for myself, if I get a chance to refocus, I may go back and do combiners.
Mm-hmm.
Or I may go back and do shockwaves. And just find the best version of each character and just kind of stick with it. So, yeah, like I said, that'd be my advice. Just find something you like, stick with it. If you spread yourself too thin, you're going to run into more problems than what it's worth. Taking a look at the aftermarket stuff is definitely worth your time, but you got to do your research on it. So check out YouTube links, talk to other people in the fandom, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Sure, you may get the odd people saying you're asking a stupid question, but at the end of the day, the buck stops here, and it's your money, so you better be spending it properly.
Yep. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of All Things Transformers Origins. We're going to be back next time around with a new episode of Origins. I believe Steve will be back. He kind of was suffering from some cosmic rust this time around, so he'll be back. Where can the people find you online, Mike?
People can find me at thisweekingeek.net. You can also hear me on Toronto's talk radio station, AM640, and across the Corus radio network on Video Game Sophistry, which airs Sundays at 7 p.m., but check your local listings for additional times that show airs. And also at terriblewarriors.com as one of your many game masters.
You can follow me on Twitter at TF2 and Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio on Twitter or all things TFV3 on Twitter. What's your Twitter, Mike?
My Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook are all at Birdman Dodd. I tend to accept all Facebook and follow requests. Just don't be a douchebag and don't be creepy. So other than that, yeah, I'm always around.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, transform and roll out, and we will catch you next time here on All Things Transformers.
Me, Grimlock, want to munch metal?
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors give it their all, fighting disguise to the victory.